That you know, you didn't see me just a minute ago, but we got down to the fourth line on the song, and I closed my book. I thought we were done. So I'm up here humming away until we got to the chorus, and I was like, hey, I know the chorus. Cassie, did you see me? But that's okay. Hey, we're all human.
I was saying the wrong words, so that's
Well, thank you again so much for being here in the house of the Lord today. And what a great day it is to be able to come here once more and share with you the Word of God and be a part of these services as we give glory and honor and praise unto our Lord. So thank you today, church family. And so today, you know, I was thinking about the title to this message today, which is titled, Once in a Lifetime Opportunity. I don't know if you realize it or not, but I just thought about this just a few minutes ago as we were singing. I grabbed out my pen and I wrote something down up here on my tablet. And, you know, the day is really a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to be here. You say, well, how's that? We're here every Sunday. Well, you know, you're not guaranteed a tomorrow. Amen? You're not guaranteed a tomorrow. So every day that you awake and come to church on a Sunday morning, it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. You might have done it 1,000,000,000,000 times, but you haven't done it today until you've done it. Amen? So keep that in mind today. So this is what we're going to talk about today. I'm very excited about what I'm going to share with you today and what the Lord has instilled in my heart today. So if you have your Bibles with you today, I'd like to ask you to turn into the book of Luke, chapter 1. And I'm going to read verses, probably start in verse 8 of Luke, chapter 1. Let me get over there real quick, and we're going to share today. We're going to talk a lot about old Zechariah. Anybody know him? He was a good man. We're going to talk about Zechariah today, and we're going to talk about praying today. We're going to talk about how Zechariah prayed, and he prayed for a very long time, and he prayed and prayed and prayed for one thing. He prayed for one thing. Now you got to keep in mind about Zechariah. He was a man that stood out in the streets and taught people about God. His duty as a priest was to tell people about God. His duty as a priest was to get people to believe and follow in their Father God. So now we're going to learn today about old Zechariah, something great. And I call this a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity that he had, and you'll find out what I'm talking about here in just a minute. So in the book of Luke, chapter 1 or chapter 8? Okay, I'm over here in 9. So we're going to talk about right here, Luke chapter 1, and I'm going to read verses starting verse 8 here. Let me see here. It goes on, and it says this in the Word of God to us today. It says, once when Zechariah's division was on duty, he was serving as priest before God. He was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then it goes on down in verse 11 to say, then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been answered. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. And I'm going to stop right there, and I'm going to skip down to verse 18 and read to you what it says there. And it says in the Word of God, Zechariah asked the angel, how can I be sure of this? I am an old man. My wife is well along in years. The angel said to him, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you the good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time. And I'm going to stop right there, and we're going to pray as I ask you to bow together. Heavenly Father, most gracious God, Lord, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you for being able to read your word and for being able to hear your word, Heavenly Father. God, we thank you for what your word means to our lives today. And so, Lord, now I ask you to give each person that's here today, Lord, each person that may be watching on Facebook this morning, Heavenly Father, or later on today, God, a revelation of this word, Heavenly Father. Lord, let it reveal to their hearts what you would have them to know and see, God, and to learn of, Heavenly Father. And Lord, as always, I ask you to hide me behind the cross. Lord, let me not interfere with what you would have said. And God, let me not take any glory or praise for what you would have done in this service and through this word this morning, God. And Lord, we ask this now in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now listen, I want to tell you something great this morning about this story. It's something very great about this story. And I did a little digging. I did a little researching this morning. Or not this morning, but through this week. Now it says here what I just read to you, starting in verse 8, it says that when Zechariah's division was on duty. Well, guess what? Now I want to tell you a little something this morning in case you don't know. There was 24 divisions. And Zechariah was of the 8th division. And now you say, well, what's the big deal about that? It's a very big deal. Because out of the 24 divisions, Zechariah being of the 8th division, there was about 18,000 priests that was able to be called up for once a week, twice a year, to serve in the temple of the Lord. That's a very big deal. And if you still don't understand what I'm telling you this morning, Zechariah was chosen out of the 8th division of his lot to serve in the temple. He was chosen to serve in the temple before the Lord. You say, well, what's the big deal about that? It's a very big deal. Because of this, Zechariah was a righteous man in the sight of God. And it also tells us later on in Scripture that I'm going to share with you that Zechariah and Elizabeth had been praying for something for a long, long time. And they were also very careful. The Bible tells us that they were very careful in following the commands and ordinances of God. So in the sight of God, Zechariah was a very righteous man in the sight of God. And he prayed and he prayed and he prayed for a very long time for a son. Amen. He prayed for what are you praying for this morning? How long have you been praying for that something? Think about that this morning. How long? Is there something that you're praying for this morning? Is there something that you need from the Lord this morning? You know, I want to share this with you this morning. It's very important when we're talking about prayer this morning. When you're talking about the power of prayer. When you're talking about the power of God. Listen, God has the final say in things, okay? God makes the final decision. It's not you. It's not me. It's not the world. It's not what people say. It's not what Satan says this morning. God has the final say. Can you say amen to that this morning, church family? Hallelujah, praise God this morning. He has the final say. It says in the Word of God, I think in Philippians, it says the cast of the lot falls in the lap and that God has the final decision. God has the final say. So don't worry what everybody tells you. See how long, it doesn't say in the Bible how long Zechariah had been praying for a son. But that's all he wanted. He wanted a son. But then when he was in the temple, listen, he was in the temple serving God, burning incense, serving the Lord as it was his duty to serve God. As it was his duty to pray. It said he laid on the ground, on the floor, prostrate before the Lord, praying unto God. Now, you want to get serious about prayer? You want to get serious about prayer? You know, we fold our hands or we bow our heads. You might even get down on your knees and pray. But to lay prostrate on the floor this morning, you just laid out flat, face down. I don't know if my back could take it. But listen, if the Lord required me to do it, I'd do it. If that was my duty, I would do it. But Zechariah, that was what he did. And the Word of God says he laid prostrate before the Lord in prayer. And not only that, it says while he was in the temple, Those worshipers outside the temple, guess what they were doing? They were also praying. But he stayed in there a long time. And you know, normally if you ever read about the temple and the priest that would go in there, if they had any sin in their life, exactly. You know what happened to them? If they had any sin in their life, you say, man, where's the priest at? He ain't coming out. And automatically you're thinking, well, he's dead. Because that's what would happen. The priest took, back in those days, the priest took the blood of sacrificed animals into the Holy of Holies to cover the sins of the people. But guess what? If he had any sin, he wouldn't come out alive. They would have to drag him out. And guess what I'm telling you this morning? I want to say to you this morning, can I be a little bit bold this morning? Don't shoot the messenger this morning. But you know what? It's a sin not to believe God. Amen? It's a sin when you don't believe God. When He speaks to your heart, when He speaks to your carnal mind, He says, this is going to happen. I got something to tell you. The angel of the Lord, Gabriel, appeared unto Zechariah and said, guess what? The Lord has heard your prayers. And guess what? Not only that, the Lord has answered your prayers. And guess what else? That's a double blessing. Not only did Zechariah... What do you think your odds are of winning the lottery this morning? You ever thought? I don't play the lottery. But I know people that do. And man, they spend big time money on lottery tickets. They'll drive to Tennessee. They'll drive to wherever they got to go to get them. Because they can't get them here in Alabama. But what do you think your odds are of winning the lottery this morning? One in what? I can tell you what your odds are because I already know. I looked it up. Your odds of winning the lottery this morning is one in about 3 million. As a matter of fact, it said 306 million. That's what your odds are of winning the lottery. Now, I don't look for myself to win the lottery. But I look at, when we hear this story about old Zechariah, he's in the temple. Not only did he get chosen, his lot got chosen. He was the guy that got sent in. There was an appointed time for him to go into that temple. There was an appointed time for him to go in and serve unto the Lord. And also there was an appointed time that angel of the Lord came unto him to tell him of the great news. Now the biggest blessing here, one of the blessings here, is that Zechariah got to go in inside that temple out of all those priests. His lot, 8th division of his lot, went in, got to serve in that whole week. That's what he had to do, go inside that temple in the morning and in the evening to do his duties unto the Lord, to serve unto God, his Father God. But also, that was one blessing. But the double blessing is when the Lord, the angel of the Lord, Gabriel, come in there and said, guess what? Your prayers have been answered. Your prayers have been heard by the Lord. And you're going to have a child. Elizabeth is going to conceive you a son. You're going to be a father. Now, that's a double blessing this morning. How many want a double blessing from the Lord today? Amen? If you don't want it, I'll take yours. I want a double blessing from the Lord. That is a double blessing this morning, church family. And the Lord is able to give it to you if you believe in Him. Amen? How many believe that the Lord can double bless you this morning? How many people believe the Lord can answer your prayers today? You know, this virus ain't nothing compared to what God can do. This what's going on in the world right now is not nothing what compared to what God can do and will do. But we have to believe in God. We have to trust in God. We have to really put our faith in the Lord and believe that He is able to do which that He says He will do. Thus saith the Word of God. But what did Zechariah do? He said, when will this be? How will this be? Don't we ask God the same thing? Oh, now it's quiet in here. Nobody's saying nothing now. That's the same thing I ask God sometimes. How will I know this, God? When will this happen? God, I don't know if that's... I don't know. Are we just afraid? Are we just afraid sometimes that the cards are stacked against us? I think a lot of people are. I'm talking about Christian people. We think sometimes, even me sometimes, I get to be the old Doubting Thomas sometimes. I won't see it unless I won't believe it unless I see it. But what did Jesus tell old Doubting Thomas? He said, blessed are those that haven't seen, but yet they believe. Just because you haven't seen something don't mean you don't have to believe it or you can't believe it. Could you imagine this morning, Zechariah had been praying for all the... Do you think he had given up hope? Because you know what he said? He said unto the angel Gabriel, he said, well, how will this be? He said, my wife and I are old in age. How will this be? It sounds like to me he gave up hope. Like a lot of people are doing today. They're giving up all hope. They don't have no hope left. But I tell you a truth this morning. You know, Jesus said that many times in the Bible. He said, I tell you a truth. I tell you a truth this morning, church family. Those that are watching on Facebook this morning. I tell you a truth. As long as God is in control, as long as God is on the throne, do you believe God's still on the throne this morning? Hey, can you hear what I'm saying to you this morning, church family? Do you believe God's on the throne this morning? He's on the throne. God's still in control this morning. God's still got the power this morning. You know, back in those days, there was two people that thought they had all the power. That's old King Herod and old Caesar. They thought they had all the power. But then God comes along and shows them how much their power really was. They were the weakest people that they was. But what about the other people? What about the so-called little people? Think about the so-called little people. Do you consider yourself a little person this morning? Mary, Joseph, Elizabeth, Zechariah. All these are little people. But they were great in the Lord. Amen? They were great in the Lord. Listen, I would rather be a little person this morning. If I'm great in the Lord and He's great in me, I would rather just be a little person. I don't have to be noticed this morning, church family. I don't have to be. It ain't about me. Amen? It ain't about you this morning. It's about God. Our main responsibility this morning, our main duty is to love God with all our heart, with everything we got. Amen? Am I telling a lie this morning? Am I telling you a lie this morning, church family? That's what God requires of us, to love Him and love Him alone with everything we got. No ifs, ands, or buts. But doubt gets in the way. Doubt gets in the way. Doubt gets in and it clouds our judgment. It clouds how we feel. It clouds what we think. But man, you talking about when old Zechariah come out of the temple, because he'd been in there a long time, the Bible says. The people saw that he couldn't speak. The angel Gabriel told Zechariah, from this day forward, you'll not be able to speak until this comes to pass. He couldn't speak. And they knew. They knew automatically something had happened to Zechariah while he was in that temple. And they knew that he had a revelation from the Lord. I say today that the world that we're living in, my community, my neighborhood, we need a revelation today. Amen. I think a lot of people need to be that same way. They need to have God close their mouths. Can I tell you that this morning? Just close their mouths up and give them a revelation. Amen. I need to be less talkative a lot of times. I need to listen. I need to learn to listen a little bit more and less talking. Well, that's hard for a preacher to do. Preachers love to talk. Preachers love to say whatever, especially when it comes to the word of the Lord. But maybe sometimes I need to be silent. And man, wouldn't it be great for God to come to you this morning and give you such a revelation that you've never had before? Just give you an awesome revelation? And it all starts with prayer. It all starts with believing in God. It all starts by throwing off all this other stuff that's going on around you. Yeah, I know we're in some serious times. But guess what? We're not in any more serious times than they were back in the Old Testament days. They was plagues, they were famines, they were, you name it. They were all kinds of things going on in those days too. But one thing I know this morning, God's got my attention. God's got my attention. God's got me thinking. You know, every morning I get up, that's the first thing that's on my mind. It's God. You know who I talk to in the morning when I get up? The first person is God. I don't go in there and talk to Pam. She's asleep. She'd probably slap me. Now, I kiss her goodbye. You know what I do sometimes on the way to work? I leave out of my driveway. It takes me about 15 minutes to get to work. I talk to God all the way to work. You know what, during the day, what I do? In that old big old clunky forklift, I talk to God inside that cab. You know what I do at the red light sometimes? You see me over there talking to somebody? Ain't nobody in there with me? God's in there with me. I'm talking to Him. I commune with God all day. I commune with God even in my worst situations. Let me move on a little bit this morning. Is this good for you this morning? Is this good word to you this morning? I hope it is. Because, man, the Lord wants to bless you today. He wants to bless you every day, not just sometimes. He wants you to be like that little kid. You know how you see your kids, your sons or your daughters on Christmas morning? Those little kids like Carson and Layla. You know how your kids were when they were really young up on Christmas morning? They get them boxes and they see them Christmas presents and they get that one, they rip it up and they're like, oh, I like it. And they get the next one, you know. That's how excited God wants you to be every day. Just like you are on Christmas morning. You know, any other time of the year. Now you tell me if I'm telling a lie this morning. Any other time of the year. I remember when Amber and Stephan was growing up. Any other time of the year, they wouldn't get up at 3 o'clock in the morning. Amen? They wouldn't. But on Christmas morning, they up at 1 o'clock in the morning. Amen? How many can testify to that this morning? See, that's how God wants you to be toward Him. The greatest gift you've ever been given, and you have it every day, it's new every morning. God's promises, and the Word of God says His promises are new to us every day we wake in the morning. That's how excited God wants us to be toward Him. Wow. If that don't light your fire this morning, I don't know what else I can say. I don't know what else God can tell you today. But I can tell you this. I know there's a lot of fires that need to be lit right now in the spirits of people. I know that there's a lot of people living in the world today that need to turn to the Lord. I know there's a lot of people today that could be receiving the double blessings of God if they would just turn to the Lord and yield their life over to the Lord and do away with all this childish, immature, irresponsible ways of doing and thinking that only leads to destruction. You know, sin leads unto death. Not just a physical death, but a spiritual death. Amen? That's not my words, that's God's words. But those that give their life over to the Lord, they receive spiritual life now and in the life to come. Because listen, whether you believe it or not, I'm going to be quiet here in just a minute. Whether you believe it or not, there's another life coming. And that's the spiritual, that's the eternal life. And you're going to spend eternity somewhere, whether it's in heaven or in hell. Now, I would prefer heaven. I don't know about you, but I would prefer heaven. And there's still time. There's still hope for people. There's still a chance. God's changed everything about my life. I'm a living testimony today that God took a sinner like me. Such a sinner was I. And He has changed everything about me. Somebody prayed for me. Somebody prayed for me. Somebody asked God to help me. Somebody put somebody else to plant the seed, to water the seed. And now here's the fruit of that seed right here. I never wanted to be a preacher. I never asked God to be a preacher. I never wanted to answer 50 phone calls during the week. I never wanted to stand by people's bedsides while they were dying. I never wanted to stand by people's bedsides while they were in nursing homes, in the hospitals. But God says, if you do things my way, if you go where I send you, you'll never regret it. And listen, there's a lot of things in my life that I've regretted. And there's a lot of things that God has forgiven me for. He's forgiven me for all of them. Everything I've ever done, everything I've ever said, everything I've ever thought of, God has forgiven me. And man, you don't think I'm a blessed person? You don't think I'm a blessed child of God today? You don't think I don't think God's real today? Look, when you look at me, I can tell you, God's real. I would still be the same old scoundrel without God. But God has changed everything about me from the inside out. And I'm still changing. I don't like that word, evolving. God is still changing me. God is still growing me. He's still changing you. I don't know if you know that or not. He's still changing. He's not done with you yet. Guess what? God's not done with you yet. And for those people that are running from God, keep on running. You can't run but so far. Because God's after you. I could name names this morning. I could tell you names this morning that God's placed on my heart. He's after them. He wants them to fall in line. He wants to have a fellowship with them. He wants to love them. You know, there's so many people in the world right now without love. They don't feel love. They don't think they're loved. They don't have no love for nobody else. But God's standing there. God is waiting on them. He wants to love them. He wants to wrap His arms around them and show them how much He really loves them. But they won't let Him. So that's why we got to keep praying about. You know what? And you say, well, Pastor, why does it take so long for God to answer prayers? Well, I can't answer that question. It took God to bless Zechariah and Elizabeth in their old age. It took God that long. But look what Zechariah was doing in the meantime. Look what he was doing. He was out teaching. He was out talking. He was out trying to get people to believe in his Father God. That's what he was doing that whole time. See, our plans sometimes don't line up with what God's plans are. Because we're kind of selfish sometimes. You know, your pastor sometimes, his plans, like yesterday, his plans were all out of whack. I got up early. I went and done one thing, and I come back to West Point. I told this guy, I said, I'll be over at your house about 8 o'clock. But when I get out, and listen, I don't know. There was a terrible wreck out there at West Point yesterday, and a person died. I don't know who they were, but I come across R.E. Garrison there and up there. I mean, that traffic was probably 10 miles back, and it stayed like that for hours. And I was sitting in my truck. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to be quiet. I was sitting there in my truck, and I said, Lord, you know I'm on a schedule this morning. So I didn't know at that time somebody died. I said, Lord, you know I'm on a schedule this morning. I said, why can't I just get to point A to point B and be done? And so I'm having to backtrack, go all the way around these little back roads, and I got lost and you name it. So I spent 2 hours trying to get home when it could have took 15 minutes to get home. But you know what the Lord says? You know what? Just be patient. Don't be anxious. You're too in a big a hurry. Slow down. Enjoy what I've given you. And be thankful for it. Amen? And that's what the Lord spoke to me yesterday. Just be thankful. Because that could be you up there in that wreck. And then when I found out that somebody died, you know, who knows? That could have been me. Could have been you. Then I felt bad about it. And then I asked God to forgive me. So be courteous. Especially this time of the year, when somebody comes off to you like, man, that person, I just want to... Don't do that. Show them the love of God. Pray for them. You might be the one to lead them to Christ. Who knows? You might be the one that saves that person from committing suicide. Who knows? You'll bless somebody. Be a blessing. Don't be a curse. Be a blessing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, most gracious God, Lord, we thank you this morning for your word. Lord, you know, Lord, you give me so much. You give me so much to say. You give me so much to think about. Lord, I just can't get it all out. Lord, I could stay here for the next 2 hours and preach. But I know we got things to do and places to go, and that's all right, Lord. But Lord, your will has been done in your house this morning. God, your word has went out. And God, I pray for those that are watching on Facebook today, Heavenly Father. God, I pray that you will just pour out a blessing unto them. Each one, Heavenly Father, if they're struggling, if they're living in sin, if they're living apart from you, Heavenly Father, God, I pray that you would send them, send the workers out, Lord. Send people out, God, that would lead them in the right direction. Lord, help them to see that there is a God in heaven. Lord, help them to see that they are loved and they can be forgiven. And Lord, you'll give them a new life. And Lord, help us to believe and trust in you more and more each day as we go down the pathway of life with you, Heavenly Father. God, I pray your blessings upon this church this morning. Lord, I pray your blessings upon the outside of these church walls today, God. Lord, the people that we'll encounter in this upcoming days, Heavenly Father. Lord, let us be a blessing to them. Not a curse, but a blessing. And Lord, direct us. Direct our hearts, our thoughts, our words, Heavenly Father. Not for the bad, but for the good, Heavenly Father. And Lord, that people might see you in us and they'll want to know more about you. They'll want to know how they can have what we have. And Lord, we'll be able to give it to them at that appointed time, God. It may take a day. It may take 10. It may take a year. It may take 100 years. Who knows? But God, we need to be ready and we need to be waiting and watching. And God, we ask you now that everything that we've said and done in your house today, Lord, to be to honor and glorify your holy name. And these things we humbly ask now in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.